Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning and just come and speak to us, be our teacher. And Lord, too, as we look in the things of the Holy Spirit this morning, you know, I just ask you to fill me and lead me and everything that's presented. And Lord, truly, we ask you to come, Holy Spirit, come and just move among us and be our teacher. And so, God, we give all thanks to you. And it truly takes you to give us understanding and explain all the things that you're doing and how you're moving. And so, Lord, I pray that be one of these mornings and that you truly speak to us. So fill me and give me strength as I speak. And speak nothing of the flesh, and each heart would be open to receive. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good morning. September. Here we are. I want you to turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 3, verse 28 through 30, and we'll start there. And the title to the message, if you haven't seen it, is Blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And everybody should go, whoa, don't want to do that. And so, interesting, I don't usually give a history behind, but I want to give you a little kind of why I came up with this, is that the Lord laid it on my heart, and so that's one thing. And it's a very it can be very difficult to understand, and it's also is very encouraging. Like it shows you the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and I thought really felt led to do it, and so that's kind of how I got there. It wasn't just by accident, and then I thought, I'll do it on Labor Day because most people will be on trips. They won't. So I didn't want to be held too accountable for it. But, of course, it's on Facebook, and you can, you know, go back and look at it. But anyway, just tell you, so here we are. We're looking at this subject, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. My goodness. And so in Mark chapter 3, verse 28 through 30, it says this. Jesus says this, truly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven, the children of man. And whatever blasphemies they uttered, you know, they also will be forgiven. But, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. Everybody in unison should go, whoa. you look at that and it's like, that kind of goes against the whole gospel. I mean, it's a little nerve-wracking. But anyway, it said, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of eternal sin. And in verse 30, for they were saying, he has an unclean spirit. Now, look at this. This blaspheming of the Holy Spirit, and it's in the Bible. It's not a, a side, something people just thought up and added in. No, in fact, it's in the three synoptic gospels, all of them. They made a point not to forget this. So when you look at it, the blaspheming the Holy Spirit, or some people will call this the unpardonable sin. I mean, already, aren't you looking at it? It's like, this goes against all of Christianity, It's like, whoa. But people will call it the unpardonable sins. I mean, rightly so, because there's no forgiveness. You're guilty of eternal sin. You're guilty of eternal sin. Now, so what is this one sin that Jesus does not forgive? Now, verse 30 in this section, verse 30, and again, this is mentioned different places in the scriptures, but verse 30 gives us an insight. We need to look closely at this. What did they do? And it said they blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. Verse 30, for they were saying, he, Jesus, has an unclean spirit. See, that was the point they stepped over. They said Jesus had an unclean spirit. Now, so that gives us good insight, and we need to pay attention to that. Now, in this section, the Jewish religious leaders were saying Jesus was possessed by Satan, and that was where his power was coming from. And it's important, when you look at something this, overreaching, you need to understand the thing, how this happened. You know, understand this. And so they were seeing these miracles, and they saw this power, and this power that Jesus is exercising came from Satan. Now, this is what they're addressing right here in this section, and it's important. Now, based on corresponding verses in Matthew 12, 22, and Luke 11, 14, we see where Jesus has freed a man from power and bondage of evil. And in these verses also, Jesus did this through the power of the Holy Spirit, but the teachers of the law ascribed it to Satan. Okay, this is what we're dealing with. Okay, so when you say, okay, well, my gosh, what can I do? This is what he's addressing here and the significance of it. Now, okay, we have that ground. Let's go back to Mark 29 here in the verse we opened with. We see that this blasphemy will never be forgiven. Whoever does this is guilty of eternal sin. So we're making, okay, this is what happened. We understand the context, but you got to understand the consequences of it. You know, as come people, well, like, could Judas have ever been redeemed? Well, my answer, I have an easy answer to that. No. Why? Because Jesus said he wouldn't be. I mean, okay, me and you. That's why I know that Judas couldn't be redeemed, because Jesus said it'd been better for you if you'd never been born. All right? So that's what it says. Now, God's giving us a picture of him working in the world and people within the world and answering some questions here. Now, so we're at this point, and we're, you know, feel like, okay, this is sin that we don't be associated with. Let us look closely at what this means. This is important because people have asked me this, okay? Number one, this blaspheming of the Holy Spirit, number one, people attribute the power of the Holy Spirit to Satan. You have that? That you go, what is blaspheming of the Holy Spirit? You attribute the power, one attributes the power of the Holy Spirit to Satan. I suggest you not do that. Okay? Now, in this section, and I think it's also important in this section, it means specifically, the people at the time, specifically, they were looking at Jesus, who was exercising the power of the Holy Spirit, and they said his power was coming from the Holy Spirit. And no doubt what happened. So that's specifically what happened. But I'm going to take a little step, you know, and I think the big picture certainly is appropriate here when people attribute the power of the Holy Spirit to Satan. And this is where evidence of what the Holy Spirit is doing, the regeneration, the empowering, and people goes, that's of the devil. Okay, now I give people, and I've talked to all of us, you know, I said, you need to be really, really cautious, and people come in here and claiming all sorts of things, and, you know, false prophecies and stuff like that, and true, but you need to also know, one needs to be discerning, but we do never want to attribute the power of the Holy Spirit to Satan. There's a shaky ground that we don't want to go to at any time. But again, I also want you to have in mind, when this was addressed, they were addressing Jesus. Okay, so that's really a no-no. But I also think there's application. So number one, people attribute the power of the Holy Spirit to Satan. Now here's number two, and this is really important, and it's consistent here. This is not an isolated act, but a hardcore continuous belief. All right? Oh man, this, I don't believe the Holy Spirit did any of this. Oh gosh, guys, I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm fried. I just let it slip out. That's not what he's talking about. We're talking about that there's a continuous hard-heartedness that whenever you see the power of the Holy Spirit working, power moving, and even at that time, the power of the Holy Spirit working through Christ, you go, this is nothing but Satan. This is just nothing but Satan. It's a hardcore, hard-hearted view of the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a belief system, okay? It's not an act. It's a lifestyle, okay? So that's a key, and when it's addressed here, Now, these are, and so when we look at it, these are non-Christians who are hostile to the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, okay? Non-Christians who are hostile to the working and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our one example, someone who knew it all, who knew it, saw it all, he made a life decision. Judas. Saw it all. He was there with all the rest of them. And Jesus said, it'd be better for him if he had never been born. I thought, oh, poor Judas, he just messed up once, you know, and the guys got mad at him, and he just like, oh, that is really a little, you know, hard punishment. That's not what happened, Judas. Judas saw everything, and he rejected Christ, you know, and his whole being that he betrayed Christ. See, that's who he was. He manifests who he was, all right? And that rejection, there's no repentance. So there are, I love to talk to even, no, I don't, but to talk to evangelicals. Well, there's everybody in, you never know. And you do present the gospel to everybody, and you stand up the gospel to everybody. But if some people are not going to come to Christ, and not, well, if they knew, no, not if they knew. In fact, when they know, they confirm that they're not going to come to Christ. So we just need to understand what's going here. Now, so hopefully that this causes some lot of heartache with concern with Christians, but I hope helps us to see, and I'm going to make some more points here, that we don't have to worry about that. Okay, we don't have to worry about that at all, okay? Because unless we're, you know, from our hearts and, you know, this Christian stuff, that's just evil. Satan's working that. It's close. I don't know if you do it. Or, you know, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of rejection. See, it's a lifestyle. So the Lord is telling us a lot here. But we're good, right? Amen? Okay, we're good. So, but it's good to understand. Now, we don't have to be worried about committing the unpardonable sin. In fact, several people, God, if you read through the scripture, people have come to me and are afraid that they committed the unpardonable sin. Or they will ask me if they've committed unpardonable. I did this, and this was terrible. I just, unpardonable sin. I go, no, it's not. Bad, but it wasn't an unpardonable sin, you know. And so people have asked that, and so you read the scriptures and you see this. I knew one guy had a long history walk with the Lord. I mean, I talked to him a dozen times. You know, after a while, he'd come up. I stop it. I mean, I'd stop it. But you know, I said, no, you don't know what it says, you know, and would explain this to him. And my answer has been to other people, this is after you answer the question a bunch of times. My answer to the question has been, and it's like, hey, if you're worried about it, you didn't do it. You with me? If you're worried about it, you didn't do it. Because there's some conviction, you did that. Oh my God, I did that. Okay, that proves you're saved. How many times have we done that? Oh, I hope Linda done fine about this. I'm not worried about Jesus. Oh, I'm worried about Linda. Okay. See, that's not unpardonable. Heavenly. Maybe between her and I, but heavenly will not be unpardonable. But you get the drift. But I do. I say, if you're worried about it, you didn't do it. Because if it's unpardonable, you don't care. you've made a lifestyle decision, and so you really don't care. Now I'm going to kind of shift gears a little bit, but I'm going to make some application here. And there is, we need to, so we're good on the unpardonable sin. We good? All right. So me and Linda, I don't know. But with Jesus, we're good. Okay, we're good with Jesus. Now, but what we need to understand that when we see this, There is also a dangerous group, okay, a really dangerous group of people who come very close. Now, this is me. I'm going to give you a couple Wallace-isms, and you know Wallace said this may or may not be true. Okay, but there's a group of people that come very close, dangerously close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Really close. I'm not saying they did it, but they come close. Now, turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy 3:5. 2 Timothy 3:5. And God tells us about these people. These people have the appearance of godliness, but deny its power. Avoid these people. Now, this is close. These folks have come close. All right. It's up to Jesus how close they came. But even for us, this is a warning to us in the church that we need to pay attention because they've come close. And look what it says. They have an appearance of godliness. I'm good. Jesus is love. Everybody be happy together. Just, you know. But they deny the power of Christ. That's what it's saying. They deny the power. And so it says, avoid them. Now, I have in my notes here, I'm showing it says Wallace only. This is Wallace only. So I'm going to read you my notes. This is a Wallace only, you know, take it or leave it. And so just a sentence here. I believe preachers and people who discount the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, including those people who believe that the gifts of the Spirit ended in the first century, are dangerously close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit. All right? That's not of us, so it's the Lord. That's just, hey, that's what Wallace thinks. Okay, so you take it as such. Now, these are people. This is still a Wallaceism. These are people who have the appearance of godliness but deny its power. And these people are playing in the same playground as those who commit the unpardonable sin. They're in the same playground. They even look the same. Maybe they hadn't gone there, but they're awfully close. They're awfully close. Visually, awfully close. Okay, now, back to the Bible, aren't you? Back to the Scriptures. Okay, the Bible, biblically, you know, back to the Bible, this is not, this whole thing of this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and what it means here in 2 Timothy, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Okay, this is not simply a matter of an organized religion that has ceased to function. You know, it just ceased to function. It's more of a country club than anything else. And these people deny the Holy Spirit. The ones that deny the Holy Spirit have no conception of the gospel is a regenerating force. Just, hey, you believe in Jesus? I believe in Jesus. We have a potluck. Have fun. You know, enjoy. Happy. You know, that's good. You know, lots of, you know, churches like that. But they also do not have a conception that the Holy Spirit is a regenerating force. You can't stay the same. You can't stay the same. Can't help it. You just can't stay the same. I'm a thief. I come to Christ. And I steal. I'm forgiven. You know, I don't have to change. Okay. That is very, very close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit. May not have, you know, and somebody set me down to listen. You know, we need to talk this over. You know, Christ is full of forgiveness, but where's your heart? You know, where's his heart? So what I'm saying, and we see this, we see a Christianity, a lukewarm Christianity, that is just a social club, and it's like, whatever. But it's not. God is, these people are coming close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they deny its power. They deny its power. Well, whatever. They're happy. No. They're denying his power. The church that deny his power. And like I said here, you know, some church just become non-functional. Just too tired to mess with it. Whatever, you know. But there are some who are actively put it aside and mean it never to happen. They overtly deny the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. They overtly deny any outside influence transforming us. I can be XYX, XYZ, anything, and still be a Christian. Maybe. But you're awfully close to denying the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you're real close. Well, God is just love. Yeah. And he's love. And that's the reason he sent Jesus to suffer your punishment, because he hates everything you're doing. Amen? Okay, so here we see this application. See, these people only maintain a cloak of respectability. Now the Bible, you know, they're nice, that's okay, that's good, you know, they're happy, you know, having good potlucks, whatever, help, you know, clean up the streets, whatever, you know, and I mean, whatever good thing there is. And so that's okay, except, isn't it funny, we see some of this stuff and say, that's okay, that's good, until we read the Bible, you know, and then we read the Bible and you go, maybe not. Maybe not, it's okay. Because what it says, if these people are doing all these good things and they deny the power of Christ, deny the power of the Holy Spirit, it says, have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. They're hypocrites. Have nothing to do with them. Now, not only it says have nothing to do with them, the word avoid here, avoid them, means to turn away from. And it's only used once in the New Testament, and it's here. All right? No. Turn away from these people. No. You don't want them around. You don't want to be in their playground. Don't be in the same playground with these people. And so, driving home a really awareness of the church, of the importance of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, we can back up and say, why is there so much emphasis on the Holy Spirit? I mean, typically you read through the scriptures and Christ in you and the resurrection, the return, and just, I mean, the whole thing, and it's Christ-centered. Keep the main thing, which it is Jesus. But the Bible also says, don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit while you're doing it. You know, you need to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. And there's a big emphasis on the Holy Spirit. On the Holy Spirit. Why is there an emphasis on the Holy Spirit? I mean, most of us are good. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved. And we're good. You know, and if you're like me, I'm thinking, I'm cleansed by the blood. I'm in. I'm just in. Who cares what I do? I am in. Except Linda. I pay attention. So you pay attention to Linda. No. But you say, I'm in. And I have a little bit of that in me. I'm good. You know, you repent? No, I'm good. It's like, I'm covered by the blood. You know, well, you're not going to go in with a lot of rewards. That's fine. I'm in. It can't be that bad. You see what I'm saying? So I'm just being honest with you. And I'm okay with it until I read the scripture. And the scripture goes, you know, you need the... There's an emphasis on the Holy Spirit, and you need to pay attention, and you need to understand why there is an emphasis on the Holy Spirit. There's an emphasis on the blood and the cross, but there's likewise an emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Why? And I'm hesitant to say this. There almost seems to be an equal emphasis on the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like, I mean, it's no save through faith, blood of Christ. But when you see there's an emphasis, almost an emphasis of the Holy Spirit with salvation. And so why the emphasis? Well, here we are. What we do, we need to look at the relationships of the Holy Spirit with Jesus. Here's where we find out, and here's where we have some understanding. The relationship of the Holy Spirit with Jesus. So you want to see this? Pay attention. Luke chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2. Fascinating. Fascinating. You have Jesus. Amen? Follow with me. You got Jesus. What more can you have? You have Jesus. Everything with Jesus. The power of Jesus functioned and transformed this world in Jesus. And it's like everything is in Jesus. So when Jesus comes, all he has to do is show up and, you know, I'm here. And, you know, he actually, someplace he actually says that. Says that. But look at this. Luke 4, verse 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Now, my first reaction to that is like, get out of here. Well, I mean, what do you mean? Jesus is enough. Well, no, it's Jesus. Jesus. Full of, I mean, you could say, Wallace, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Be over in Jesus. And he said, no, he is full of the Spirit. Really? Jesus is full of the Spirit. And Wallace, you need to be full of the Spirit. You go, well, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Jesus returned from the Jordan. What did he do? Man, I don't know. We're going to have to get a map and check out the places we can go and, you know, strategize and see where I should go and speak. And, you know, we need to have some, you know, figure out some details. And no, that's not what Jesus. Jesus led by the Spirit. Jesus, why did you come here? Led by the Spirit. Well, that's a little spooky dust. I mean, that's shaky. I'd rather have a map. I'd rather have a map than just this funny stuff. He led by the Spirit. Now, when you take, any of you have pets, put them on a leash, and you lead them outside. What if they don't want to go? What if they want to go? From here, pop, you know. Little, you walk out, let's go here. They don't want to go. Pop. And they're led. You lead them by you. Jesus was led by the Spirit. That's the reason he went from the Jordan. He was led by the Spirit. And then we see this. He went in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by the devil. Get out of here. I want goodness and happiness in my life. I want to be happy. You accept Jesus and you're happy. And Jesus makes you happy. You know. And Jesus, well, we'll get there. Now, Jesus, we have Jesus filled with the Spirit. So he's so full. Now he's led by the Spirit. And so he's led by the Spirit. And he goes to Florida on the beach. That's where I'm going. Happy. No, that's not what you're doing. You're full of the Spirit, and you're being led by the Spirit, and I'm going to lead you into the wilderness so you can have a one-on-one with Satan. By the way, this is why you're not happy. Folks, it is. This is why you're not happy. You're sitting here being happy, blaming all sorts of people because you're not happy. You know, and God goes, I didn't want you happy. I want you filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, so you go one-on-one with Satan. Well, ain't no fun. You know, that's a long way from happy. But that's just where, you know, certain people don't measure up. Wait a minute. Does Jesus measure up? I mean, he's the best guy made. Best guy. And he's full of the Spirit, and he's led. He's led in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by the devil. I don't understand what God's doing. I don't understand what God does. I don't understand what God, how God works. This is how it works. This is how he works. Okay. Now, we know the end of the story. Okay, so we know, you know, all this came through. But this part was necessary. Did you know that Jesus didn't start his ministry? He didn't start his ministry until after this. That's when he started. See, a lot of us flunk out on the beach in Florida. We flunk out because we won't be happy. We flunk out with being happy. Seeing God say, it ain't about happy. This is about serving me. This is about serving me. And this not, this can be tough stuff serving me. And you need to be ready to handle it. And if Jesus had to be tempted 40 days without eating, you know, by the devil, and deal with the devil to prepare him for his ministry, to prepare him for his ministry, what do you mean? He's a perfect man like that. No, the perfect man had to be filled with the Spirit and led with the Spirit so that God could use him. The perfect man. Now, I'll ask you something. How many of you, me included, are as perfect as Jesus? You reckon you're going to get in the wilderness, and you reckon you're going to have to go one-on-one with Satan? You reckon you're going to have to be filled with the Spirit? And you're going to say, dear God, lead me. You reckon that's what's going to happen? Yeah, that's what. I love this one in John. It really had a big impact. I think it's 5:19. I'm not sure. And Jesus says this, which when I first comprehended it, it blew my mind. Jesus said, I can do nothing by myself. Well, if you can't, there ain't no way I can. I mean, what do you mean? I can do nothing by myself? And I'm going to think, well, I can. Let me show you something. But that's why I can do nothing by myself. I only do what I see my Father doing. Oh, see, do you see how this fits together? Now we'll get taken two times. Here's something we need to remember, good theology, you know, and we're excited about the Holy Spirit, okay? Now this is the Holy Spirit. Why am I in this desert? God, how dare you, is so close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit because God put you in that desert. Well, I don't like it here. Who asked you? You said you want to serve me? All right. Let's go. You got to come to me through the desert. You won't have any capacity to function the way I want you to function unless I take you through the desert and you go one-on-one with Satan. Anyway, now, so we must remember. Here's something we must remember. Jesus is fully God. Okay, we got that. He is fully God. But he is also fully man. He's fully man. Okay, that's a biblically you go. And being fully man, he showed us how man was supposed to live is fully man. I do nothing by myself. I only do what the Father shows me. Is fully man, he does nothing by himself. Being full of the Spirit, he's led. That's a Christian life. That's a Christian life. It explains everything. It also explains why we don't know nothing. Anything. I would. You see what I'm saying? So we look at this, and Jesus is fully man. Jesus was full of the Spirit. And he was led by the Spirit. How in the world can we think we're going to live this life without being led by the Spirit when Jesus lived it, led by the Spirit? Well, I can outdo Jesus. He didn't know what I know. You know, I mean, that's what we're saying. And it goes, likewise, we should be full of the Spirit and led by the Spirit. I don't need that. I can do it myself. That is the same playground as those that play and commit the unpardonable sin. It's the same playground. You know? Now, you didn't commit an unpardonable sin. It's just kind of was a really, really bad decision. But you're playing in the playground with those who commit the unpardonable sin. They don't believe Christ is real, and they live like he's not real. And we believe he's real, but we live like he's not real. How do you live like Christ is not real? You're not filled with the Spirit. You're not led by the Spirit. You live like Christ doesn't exist. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit is the work of the kingdom. Now, here we see a transition here. The work of the Holy Spirit is the work of the kingdom. Look, if you will, at Matthew. Now, see these things. When you see this, certain things start making sense. Look at Matthew 12, 28. Matthew 12, 28. But if it is by the Spirit of God, okay, if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out, Jesus is saying this. I only do what the Lord tells me. But if it is, I'm only filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit. But if it is me being filled by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Application. I'm right here. And let's not cast out demons, but let's just look general decisions here. It's that if I'm standing right here, and if it's by the Spirit of God, me and be full of the Spirit and led by the Spirit, that I do this, I bring the kingdom here. The kingdom, you remember what the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come. Come. He goes, be full of the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and it'll be here. It'll be here. You're asking for it. You're not listening. Be filled with the Spirit. Led by the Spirit, and it's here. And the demon, if I put another word in here, but if by the Spirit of God I make my decisions, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Our decisions of being filled and led determine the working of the kingdom of God wherever we are. All God's people said, amen. Look at this next verse. Look, being led by the Holy Spirit brings the kingdom to earth. Look at the same thing, Luke 11:20. And it really is in the same context as Matthew, but this is in Luke, but this is how Luke says it. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The Spirit of God and the finger of God are the same thing. I'm full and I'm led. I'm being filled and I'm being led, and it's just like going, bingo. I mean, this is my analogy. I'm full, I'm being led, and it's just boom. See? And the avenue becomes me because of the decisions I've said and submitting to God. And he says, how do we get this Holy Spirit? And the Bible says, in Luke, says, ask. Ask, you know. And it says, be led. So it's a whole transition here of what God's telling us. How many of you, now you don't have to raise your hands. Don't have. How many of you listen to this and you're thinking about somebody else? It won't work. It ain't going to work for you either. That is close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Well, if they did that, I'd sure be happier. No, it's you. You're the only person that this is dealing with here. You know, and as I share this, hopefully encouraging, but the only one that it really applies is me. It's just me to be able to move and let the Lord lead me as he sees fit. Okay, Spirit of God, finger of God, the same thing. By the finger of God, we bring the kingdom of God to earth. Remember the Lord's prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Bing. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Bing. Filled, led, finger of God. Kingdom comes. That's what the scripture's telling us. You say, well, this, I'm not doing that. That's what he's telling us. People don't know this. So he said, but this is how I work. Now, most of us, and I mean me too, you get in the wilderness and you really say, God, you really messed up. I did everything. Now, I've actually done this. Lord, I did everything you told me, and look at this. It didn't work out. Now, if I could hear God talk, he'd say something like, I can't believe you said that. I cannot believe you said that. You know, and throughout life, he teaches me I shouldn't have said that. So, but you see the picture here. Now, God also gives us a metaphorical example to communicate the importance of the Holy Spirit. This is metaphorical, but it's to communicate exactly how the Holy Spirit works. And there's no overhead here, but in Mark 3, verse 27, it says this, no one can enter into a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder the house. Metaphorically, the strong man is Satan. Metaphorically, the strong man, he's Satan. And we bind Satan through the Holy Spirit. Then we confidently move forward, bringing the kingdom on earth. This is the spiritual battle. It's constant in our Christian life, and we need to be equipped. Amen? Now, some of you may say, like, Wallace, where'd you get that? And this isn't a Wallaceism. This is a thus saith the Lord. Look at Ephesians 6:12. Look and understand every word of Ephesians 6:12. Understand the world around us. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I can't stand my neighbor. You know? Oh, this is so bad happening to me. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And when we talk like this, we're not even part of the solution. We just jump in there, you know, throwing mud at each other and nothing happens and we can just bellyache for now on. We have professional bellyachers. We do, you know, because this doesn't make sense. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Think, where are you right now? I don't care where you are. This is where you are. I want to be happy. That's not part of it. You know, I don't think it's in the Bible. Now, I'm in the shaky ground. I don't know if the, you know, be happy. It says be wise, you know, be joyful. Yeah, be joyful, you know, in which I always reply, you got to be kidding me. Nothing joyful about this. Be joyful. Because you see that you're battling in spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places, and you'll win because you can bind a strong man, and because I've placed you there, and because you're bringing the power of Christ into that situation. And I'm saying, oh, that's what I was thinking all along. You can laugh at that. Well, it's just, no. But anyway, but you see what, but it says it here. But look at these verses. It says, what are you fighting against? Just right now, what are you fighting against? Right now, in your head, physically, what are you fighting against? Okay? No, you're not. God first saying, you're not fighting. He's telling you, you're praying, but you don't even know the problem. You're not fighting against that. What you're fighting against is spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, you have to step into the heavenlies, and therefore you have to listen to God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in the heavenly places, He can tell you what to do, and full of the Spirit, He tells you what to do, and led by the Spirit, and then you bring the finger of God. And we can't bring the finger of God because we're too busy throwing mud at our problems and hoping they'll go away. Or we'll call them names and maybe they'll move. Or whatever. See? And God goes, I'm telling you right here. This is fascinating. I hope y'all don't have any. It's the weekend. Y'all got a day off tomorrow. Anyway. To fight the battle, we need to stand on the basics. Salvation through Jesus, receiving the Holy Spirit, and we need to understand and honor the Holy Spirit. Okay, listen to this. Okay, this is where we are. This is huge. Colossians 2:13 through 15. There's no overhead, and I've kind of compressed it a little bit, but just listen to this. This is who we are. You were dead. That's you and me. You were dead, but God made you alive, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of the debt, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed Satan and gave us all power over him. And this overhead, I love this overhead. I'm so glad Woods has got the... You have the overhead? Oh, isn't that pretty? I love it. That's us. See that list, that paper list? That's everything we ever did wrong. Past, future, everything. It's nailed to the cross. Nailed to the cross. Now listen to the verse. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin. And that's a picture of him becoming sin. Everything nailed to the cross. He became our sin. And so, and then the verse goes on and say, disarm Satan. I condense it a little. Our sin is nailed to the cross, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Both are equally true. Sins forgiven and receiving the Holy Spirit. As redeemed of Christ, we honor the Holy Spirit. And listen carefully to this. We see in the four Gospels, the work of the Holy Spirit through Jesus. That's what we see, the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says it. I do nothing by myself. Filled with the Holy Spirit, led, okay, nothing. In the four Gospels, we see the work of the Holy Spirit through Jesus. In the book of Acts and the epistles, we see the work of the Holy Spirit through believers and the church. We're supposed to act like we have a picture of what it looks like in its perfect form in Jesus. And now we have Acts and the epistles to show us how to do the same thing Jesus did. But we're not even fighting on the same battle. No, we're mad at our neighbors or this or that. It's like, no, this is heavenly. This is heavenly. You hear, filled, led, and then the finger of God. See? Well, what's the problem that the finger of God is not coming? And what's the problem that that the things aren't working out and the kingdom's not here? What's the problem? The problem is you're not filled and you're not led. You need to be filled and led, and then, psst. And by the way, that only takes the finger. It's just a finger. Which comes back, what I've always realized all my life, not all my life, I've learned to realize in my life, that the common denominator with my lack of walking with the Lord is me. It's not God's finger. It's me being filled and led. Now, there's a couple of keys that you can tell if you're not filled and led. Okay? One I'm really guilty of, and I've been really convicted, worrying. That proves you're not filled or led. Another one, griping. You just gripe. All right? That's proof. Oh, I don't know what's going on. That's just proof you're not filled and you're not led. Okay, so you know. Marriage couples and stuff, I encourage you not to tell your spouse that. Like, you say, oh, you're griping, this is because you're not filled with the Spirit. It just don't do that. I've tried that. It just doesn't work at all. So, but you need to know that that's what's happening. Well, I'll go here, and you know it's not going to work out. You know, and I'm doing this like, what do you think Jesus is doing? He's in heaven. It's like, you got to be kidding me. He's going like, you know, God, give me a word. He goes, you have a whole stinking book. Why don't you read it? I'm going to tell you something else. You're not going to do that either, you know. Read the book. You know what Jesus said to the Pharisees? You know, he goes, you have the scriptures, and they speak of me. They go, who are you? You have the scriptures. They speak of me. Well, tell us something else. That's what we do. That's what I do. I don't want to put this on you. I'm sure y'all do much better than I do. But anyway, you see. But it's okay. Let's look at it. Close out. We see these things. And so let's pay attention to the words of Christ. This is where we keep, you know, stay here. This is what Jesus told the disciples when he leaves. Jesus told the disciples when he lives. Acts 1:8. Jesus gone. You know, I'm thinking that verse he said, I can't remember it was in the gospel. He says, you know, how long do I have to be with you guys? I mean, he actually said that. He goes, how long do I have to stay here? I mean, he just got frustrated, you know. I'm sure he went, Lord, just fill me and lead me, and I'll get through this. But it's like, so here he's leaving. He's leaving. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. See, we don't realize when Jesus went to heaven, he and the Holy Spirit went to heaven. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Ashburn and Loudoun and the ends of the earth. But I want to go to Florida in the sun and happy. This ain't happy here. And have you watched the news and seen what's happening in Loudoun County school system? Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? And God goes, I put you here. That's what I'm doing. I go, now I go, I said, what's plan B? You know, this is not a good thing, what you're doing. What are you going to do? I had someone, it's my sister, God bless her. She says, you just need to move. You know, just move thee. And I thought, no, this is where I'm supposed to be. You know, because God find the darkest spot and he put a believer there, see. And, you know, I could be, you know, like some, I don't want to be here. You know, these people are not nice. You know, and they don't like what I believe. And it's just terrible. And God just leave and drop a fireball on it. You know, it's like, you didn't think that. And I said, yeah, I did. I had to confess that sin. But look what he says. Jesus leaves. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And it says Judea and all of Israel and to the ends of the world. But, you know, Ashburn and Loudoun fit in there. We, brothers and sisters, our sins are nailed to the cross, but we have also received the Holy Spirit, which is metaphorically the finger of God. We should honor him and ask him to be filled and led. Our message is clear. This is the first, you know, his presentation of the gospel right here, Acts 2:38. Repent, turn, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's together. It's not separate. It's together. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Lord, we just thank you. First of all, we're so excited that we have not blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for that. We ask you to continue to be our teacher and lead us. And Lord, too, we want to understand that what you're telling us, and it's not something hard, it's not something for a special few, it's for everybody to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is ask, fill me. And then God leads us. And that means we listen, watch for open doors, how the Lord prompts us, and we move one step at a time. And God will show us the second step after the first step. He won't show us the second step. He'll show us the second step after the first step. And so, Lord, I pray from this day forward that we will, in every situation, ask, fill us, pay attention, be led, and then be excited because the finger of God has come down upon us when we do this. We give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.